Hey, parents of students of any ages. I want to talk to you about Move Up Sunday. Move Up Sunday is the day that we as a church officially recognize that your students have entered a new grade. So if they were in fifth grade, on this day, we consider them a sixth grader as far as the church is concerned. Move Up Sunday is happening on June 6th, and here's why you need to know this. We're starting service in the main sanctuary. Everyone needs to be in the main sanctuary except for your nursery children. They can go to the nursery. We're gonna be in here, and right at the beginning of service, we're gonna celebrate everyone moving into new classes. So again, for example, students moving out of fourth grade into fifth grade, we're gonna celebrate them going from the children's ministry into the youth ministry. So everyone's gonna start in here. We're gonna celebrate the move up classes, pray over them, and then we'll dismiss Children's Church out for their classes, and the youth ministry will stay in here for worship like we've been doing. If you have any questions about Move Up Sunday, contact myself or Pastor Randy. We would love to help you understand the whole process so nobody's confused when we get there. We look forward to celebrating with you and your students on June 6th.
Hot dogs, get your hot dogs. That's right, family of faith. It's time for the annual farmers market in Sidney, Ohio, starting May the 29th at 8 a.m. and going to noon every Saturday up through October. We've ministered last year over 4,000 hot dogs. We gave away hot dogs, water, and chips down in Sidney, Ohio. Because of that act of kindness, we've been allowed to pray with people, pray for their families, turn around and share the gospel, lead some people back to Christ. So I encourage you to become part of this event. This is for young as old alike, families, couples, and individuals. Remember, we are the family of faith. We value relationships in the church, but also in our communities. And yes, we are rescuers. Remember, Jesus said, as you've done it unto one of these, you've done it unto him. If you're interested in helping, there's a sign-up sheet up at the Welcome Center that you can put your name to. You probably need to do this once or twice out of the entire year because so many people sign up for it. Or you can see me personally at the church. Greatly appreciate it. Hope to see you there.
And when you get his thoughts and his ways, bigger and better and greater things begin to happen to you.
Jesus didn't walk by might nor by power, but by his Spirit.
God that's going to turn your nothing into a miracle like you have never seen before in your life.
Well, hello, church family. Welcome to Monday night of the Pentecost Conference. I'm so excited that you're here. Those of you joining us on live stream, you know what I love about Monday night? Here's what I love about Monday night. If you show up on a Monday night, you came expecting something. And you know what I love about that? Is that all throughout Scripture, in the Gospels, when we see Jesus show up places, the people who were expecting something, they got something. They just got something. One of my favorite stories is the guy who's sitting along the edge and the crowd's coming with Jesus. And the crowd, there's a little bit of the crowd going in front of him. And that guy's like, who's coming? And they said, that's Jesus. And he starts screaming, Jesus, I need help. Come here, Jesus. And people are like, no, shh. Now here's what's weird about that. All these people have been walking with Jesus, watching him heal people, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, do all this stuff. And here's a man who needs a touch from Jesus. And the people were like, shh. Look at your neighbor and say, don't shh me tonight. I'm here expecting something, and I'm going to get it because Jesus is faithful. And when I cry out, he answers me. I'm telling you, I'm excited about tonight. I got to do this or I'm going to get fired from this job. All right. Welcome to everyone. I am so glad you're here. Live streamers, thank you so much for joining us. And I'm telling you what, if showing up in the building means you come expecting, watching on live stream means you're expecting as well. And I'm telling you what, I believe tonight is your night for a miracle. God knows exactly who you are. He knows what couch you're sitting on, and he's ready to meet you right there. We'd love to have you here, but we're okay with Jesus touching you right there first. And then we want to see you here. Maybe tomorrow night's your night to be here with us in person. We'd love to have you here. All right. You guys okay? You guys need to drink more coffee? We give it away for free. There's no excuse. If you're a first-time guest with us tonight, we want to thank you as well for being here. There's a first-time guest card. It's where we can get some information from you, and we don't plan to harass you with it. We just want to know who you are. Maybe pray for you. Something like that. It'd be fine. So if you would grab that card, fill it out, turn it in at the lobby or at one of the offering buckets, that would be great. And then there are two communion tables, one up here to the left, your right, and your left. And you can partake of communion anytime during the worship service that you would like to. We want to have that available for you. Two quick announcements. We will be having a night of prayer here at the church on June 15th from 6 to 7:30 p.m. I lied. There are actually three here. I apologize. We have a lot of different small groups that happen. Many of you are in small groups that happen right here at the church, but did you know we have lots of small groups that happen outside of church? And we'd love you to get involved there as well. To get information about all those groups, you can go to our Facebook page or out to the lobby. They will give you that information there. And then finally, if you're a dude in the house tonight, we have a brotherhood breakfast on June 5th at 8 a.m. You can sign up online to be there with us. Now, before we get into worship, cue the band. I love this part. They come in with the music. It's really good. It's Pentecost Conference. We are celebrating. They like that up there. I love it. We're celebrating this amazing gift of the Holy Spirit. In John 16, verse 7. I don't have my Bible, so I want to make sure I got it right. In John 16, verse 7, Jesus says something absolutely profound. He says, I want to let you guys know something. He's preparing them. The crucifixion story is about to take place. He's about to be taken away from them. And Jesus gives them a little pep talk to let them know it's going to be okay. You're going to be really confused for a minute. It's going to be really sad. You're going to grieve and you're going to mourn while the world rejoices. But he says, let me give you a secret. I'm going away from you, but it's for your good that I go. Because he said, unless I go away, the Holy Spirit will not come to you. Do you understand what Jesus said? He said, the only thing better than God walking with you is God living in you. The Holy Spirit has come to dwell inside of us. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, you will by the end of the night. I promise you. The Holy Spirit's been moving in power, and I'm telling you, he's not planning on stopping. He's been going strong for 2,000 years, and he'll keep going till Jesus comes back. So let's stand to our feet, and let's worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Don't be afraid.
day was silent, surely it was true. But since when has impossible ever stopped you? And Friday's disappointment is Sunday's empty tomb. But since when has impossible ever stopped you?
This is the sound of dry bones rattling. This is the praise make a dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of dry bones rattling.
Waymaker.
Keep it away.
Hallelujah. Praise God. How many of you can bear testimony that he has made a way? I'll tell you what, 1,000 times I've seen God do what man thought they could not do. Amen. I remember when I started this church, they said, he can't do that. I said, you're right, I can't. But I know who can. Amen. Praise God. And I'm telling you, I don't know how many. Where is Eric? Come here, Eric. Eric, now we've been kind of crippled by this fake COVID. You know, Russia doesn't have any COVID. Stunned you, didn't it? They just didn't allow it. So we were encouraged to adapt to it. So how many people, we haven't left soil, American soil, for a year, year and a half?
Yeah, Pastor, since about 18 months.
But that didn't stop us from going to the world.
No, sir. No, actually, we've been creative, and now we're doing worldwide live television, touching more people today than we ever had before. You know, you got a picture. Pastors preaching in like 182 nations on like a, would be equivalent of ABC at 8 p.m. at night in that nation. But nations literally all around the world. So we have seen every time Pastor preaches on a low viewing day, these networks have maybe 500,000 real live viewers watching. But realistically, between 1 to 5 million people are watching. So if I put Pastor in front of 25,000 people every single week, he does more in one live worldwide TV event than we did if we physically went to 52 locations.
Yeah, yeah.
So the Lord gave us the idea, gave us the strategy, and he's now preaching on 5 or 6 worldwide TV networks on primetime. It'd be again, and it's not like digital TV like we have in America. We have 1,000+ channels, and you could surf all day long, never find somebody. These nations sometimes have 4 or 5 channels, and one of them is one that see Pastor Dosek on.
Yeah.
So we're seeing people getting saved, healed, delivered, set free like never before. Hundreds of thousands of people every single month are being impacted. And one of the things I'm really excited about too, Pastor, is those remote village meetings in Pakistan. You got a picture. We got Pastor preaching the gospel in a village in Pakistan that might be 8, 10, 12 hours outside of major cities. And he's on this massive projector. We have interpreter there. We have sound system. We have light towers. Hundreds of Muslims are coming to Christ every single month.
Yeah.
By allowing us to go out there and take technology and remind the devil that he's defeated.
That's right. Amen. And but we're about to ramp it up and get to cranking again.
We got 6 months. I am booking. We got crusades coming up in about 4 weeks, Pastor, in 2 cities in Brazil. Then we're off to, we got the largest church in Central or South America that's going to have a pastor to come in for a crusade as well. Church seats probably close to 40, 50,000.
It holds
massive,
to
747.
That's their sanctuary.
Massive, massive facility.
Yeah.
And then we have crusades coming up in Pakistan. I'm going to put pastor in front of 100,000 people in that nation. We're going to watch God do amazing things there.
Yep, amen.
Togo, West Africa, preaching in Kampala, Uganda. And the largest church, potentially one of the largest churches, probably the second largest church on the African continent, seats over 40,000. Just a massive, massive facility. We've got crusades coming up in Managua, Nicaragua,
yep.
A church that has over 16,000 members. It's having pastor come in and minister the gospel. So, yeah, we're going to not only win hundreds of thousands by TV, Pastor, but we're going to physically start pulling nets in one by one as well.
Absolutely. Amen. Yep. We're about winning souls and
devil's gonna
training
pay.
Pastors. Amen. And as we go all around the world, we have guys like David. Stand up, David.
Yeah.
Mike.
Pastor David Metz.
Where's Mike? There's
Pastor
Mike.
Pastor Mike Below.
Tom.
Tom Temple. Joe Turner.
And then
Philip Walker.
Joe
Turner.
Philip Walker.
Right. Yeah.
And
Trisha Thistle's done this before.
And then we have the yet to happen is Pat to Billy.
No, Billy's done it. Billy's been on worldwide television.
Did you go to Africa?
No, but he's been on TV. He did a remote village.
He did. Yeah, he went and created his own little
Nice.
Pastor's crusade or something, didn't you? Just snuck yourself right in there and just took them
over. Winning souls without telling us. What's wrong with you?
Hallelujah. And but we encourage all of the guys to do that. And these guys go all around the world. They go to countries that we're not going to. And they've raised up, and they have just become miracle workers, praise God. And so God is doing a lot of good things, even though America is doing a lot of stupid things. And but God is doing a lot of good things. Amen. And God's not dead. And I do not believe that America has been shut down nor forsaken by God. I believe that America is going to experience revival, and I believe that God is going to use us to do it. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we are celebrating Pentecost. Hallelujah. This is the day that God marked prophetically out of the book of Joel, out of the book of Isaiah 28, verse 19 on down, that God would speak to a nation and minister to them and draw them to himself with other tongues, diverse kinds of tongues. People say, I don't believe in that. Well, that's okay. God believed in Joel. Joel believed in God. Isaiah believed in God. And God believed in Isaiah. And we don't even know your name. Hello. And so tonight, somebody say tonight. And tomorrow night, you have the opportunity to experience one of the greatest preachers in America. No, I hate to break your heart. It's not going to be me tonight. I am loaning my mantle to Reverend Tim Bagwell. He is my friend for, 36, 37 years. And I've helped him grow in temperance and in understanding of the back hills of Ohio. And so he is here. He's going to be with us tonight. And he is the prophet of our church. And I believe that he will prophesy to our congregation, prophesy to individuals. But we're going to see a move of God tonight. And we thank God for Brother Mark Dunphy for Sunday morning and Sunday night. But tonight, I'm telling you, I just encourage you to take off your religious helmet, your religious garb, and just enter in and let the Holy Ghost have his way. Amen. Let's just let the Holy Ghost have his way. Amen. You have been destined for this time. God has poured out his spirit. He has equipped and developed people for an end time expression of his glory and his salvation to man. We are living in the most crucial time of the history of mankind, but we are the best equipped for this moment. David could not do it. Isaiah, Ezekiel, Elijah, none of them could do it. But you are equipped far better than they were. And you are set in this time to unveil who God is through Christ in you. Amen? Praise God. So let's stand to our feet. Let's give the prophet of our house a good round of applause as he comes. Praise God. Hallelujah. That water is yours.
Let's give Jesus a great praise. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. You can do just a little better than that. Amen, amen, amen. Well, how many are glad to be in the house tonight? Well, it's good to see y'all on Monday night and Pentecost Sunday. You may be seated. Pentecost Sunday, naturally, was yesterday. We had an incredible day at home. My wife sends her love and regards to all. And we're just thankful for the great, great time in the Holy Ghost. There's some things that I'm going to get right into in the next couple, 3 minutes that I really believe is a word from God for your church and a word from God that God gave me for our church in Denver in the process of dealing with all that we're dealing with right now. But I just want you to know that I believe we are in a great, great, great moment in the history of the church. I really do. I believe we're in a time of God bringing to pass things that he has spoken in generations gone by. And I want you to get your, you might say, your expectation levels up. Not just, you know, when I, Pastor Dosik shares the incredible outpourings of the Spirit and miracles and salvations and signs and wonders that are happening. And you know, when America is getting ready to see a harvest, because America has continued, no matter how big of a mess we get into, America continues to be the seed-sowing nation. Because everything that God is doing in many different nations of the world, not everything, but a majority of the things that we see happening in many nations of the world are happening because of the seed that God's people in this nation continue to sow for the preaching of the gospel. And I've said this many times, I can mark how many years I preached here, because it was the same year my wife and I began pastoring in Denver, and that was 36 years ago. 2021 marks 36 years, and that was the same year that I preached my first meetings on the other side of the freeway in the little building over there, and I preached in every building you've had since then. But who would have thought, and I say this with all respect, who would have thought from Bodkins, Ohio. No, who would have thought from Bodkins, Ohio, that there has been all the fruit that has been produced through the years. Now think about this. All the souls that have been saved, all the blind eyes that have been opened, all the deaf ears unstopped, all the people that have had demons cast out of them, all the mighty moves of God, all the pastors that have been trained, all the different things that you've seen happen. And I've just been in a relationship with you for these 36 years. Who would have thought from Bodkins, Ohio, with a church that started on a dirt floor garage, and Phyllis wouldn't even come to the church back then. No, I think she came once or twice. Who would have thought that from a dirt floor garage in this town, God would have raised up a ministry that has impacted the nations of the world, and COVID couldn't stop you? No, stay with me. Being in a small town didn't stop you. COVID couldn't stop you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Eric testified of all the people that are being ministered to in the midst of one of the most negative seasons we've ever been through. You know something? Because the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. And if you're thankful for this great church and your great pastors, I wish you'd give God a big shout of praise right now. Hallelujah. Come on. You do even better than that. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, come on. Come on. Come on. God inhabits the praises of his people. Glory to God. Pastor and Phyllis, Pastor Dosik and Phyllis, thank you for your friendship and again for honoring me with the opportunity to preach in this great church, in this great ministry. I want all of you to go out and buy my wife's magazine. As you know, she keeps producing Shine. It's been a little challenging here over the last few months, but they're in the final phases of a new edition coming out. But this is probably the greatest edition that she ever produced, because the pastor's pearl that's in it is your beloved Pastor Phyllis Dosik. And a multi-page article sharing Phyllis's testimony and things about the ministry. And my Lord, took up the whole magazine with her. I didn't realize we devoted that much paper. Praise God, but an incredible article about your pastor's wife. If you have one of these, get another one. If you don't have one and you're a part of this church, it would be blasphemous if you don't get one. And besides that, all the other great articles and things, Gayla's always worked so hard to make this magazine, you might say, body, soul, and spirit, natural, emotional, and spiritual. And I think this is one of the best magazines she's produced, and I haven't had a chance to talk about it because I haven't been here in almost 2 years. This is the, I missed last year because of COVID, and that's the first year in these 36 years that I've missed. And I thank God to be able to get back here and get things straightened out finally. Praise God. So if you don't have a copy of this, please stop by. Are you taking care of that? I'm telling you, I knew I could count on you. And don't let them try to bargain you down. Because I know how these Ohio folk are. They're always trying to get a deal. There is no deal, okay, unless you buy a bunch of them, then we can negotiate. But if you don't have this, please get it, because I can't go home if I tell her that we didn't sell all the magazines. So, and I'd like to go home, so please help me out. But it's an incredible magazine, and the beautiful woman on the cover is my wife. It's not my daughter. It's my wife, and thank God for my beautiful wife. We celebrated our 45th wedding anniversary back in October. And I got to thinking about this the other day. Next year will mark my 50th anniversary in full-time ministry. I will have my golden anniversary next year. And when I say full-time, I mean full-time. Some people say, I've been in the ministry for so many years. When I went full-time, I was preaching 300-plus times a year in live services from the first year I started. And so when I say full-time, I meant full-time, all over the country, around the world. And you know what? Still love it. Still passionate about it. And I still thank God I can stand before you 36 years later and say, you are who God says you are. Give God one more good praise. All right, let's get to work. We're celebrating this time of year. There's a couple schools of thought that I do want to get into, because we are celebrating and honoring the birth of the church, the outpouring of the Spirit. But to be honest about it, we have been through one heck of a season. And I'm not one of these hyper-spiritual people that want to minimize this. And how many realize this has been maybe one of the most difficult seasons that our nation has ever been through, at least in our lifetime. Now, some of our past generations dealing, I think about all that my father walked through. He was born in 1905. He lived through World War I. He lived through World War II. He lived through the Korean War. But I mean, his life, the Great Depression, many different things. But in the majority of our lifetimes, these last few months have been some of the most difficult that we have ever had to journey through. At the beginning of the pandemic, can I just lay some groundwork here with you? Because when people talk about being prophetic, a lot of times people are always looking for you to make a prediction, and it's not necessarily a prediction, but it's trying to hear the voice of God and speak into the people to where they're equipped to deal with what the season is bringing as well. Are you hearing me? So at the beginning of the pandemic, God began to speak to me. And he didn't tell me who was going to be the next president. He didn't tell me when the virus was going to end, but he spoke something to me very specific. He said, you are dealing with five distinct spirits. And I said, what do you mean, God? He said, you are in a season that Satan has unleashed five distinct demonic manifestations against the church. And I said, Lord, what are the five spirits you're talking about? And the Lord said, number one, I'm talking about the spirit of the destroyer. And we studied the spirit of the destroyer. Now, I'm not going to teach on all these things. I just want you to grab them in the cliff note. And if you're taking notes, just grab it and move with it. The first spirit was the spirit of the destroyer, and we have revelation of that spirit from the accounts of the Passover, when the Lord said, apply the blood upon the doorpost, and I will pass over, or I will protect the doorway of your house and not allow the destroyer to come in. And then we understand from the scripture in the book of Revelation that the destroyer, the name destroyer, comes from two distinct words. Hebrew, it's Abaddon, and in the Greek, it's Apollyon. But the term or the name or the title destroyer was given to Satan. He said the second spirit that you're going to be dealing with is the devourer, the spirit of the devourer. And you understand that when you prove God with your tithe and your offering, said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Third spirit that he spoke to me about was the spirit of infirmity. Then the spirit of fear. And then the last one was the spirit of heaviness or the spirit of grief. Now, this was right at the beginning of things when everybody was predicting it was all going to be over by Easter, and then they predicted it was all going to be over by last Pentecost, and then they predicted it was all going to be over. We had more days that everybody was predicting this thing was going to be over, and in technicality, we're closer to things maybe being over than we've ever seen it, but it isn't over yet. I mean, I have three men in my church right now. My worship leader, one of them, is in the hospital with COVID, battling. I have one man literally battling for his life. So this thing is still real, and it's still warring against us, and it's still fighting against us. And don't look at me as though I don't have faith, because God gave me some instructions, and what the instructions were is that we have to daily take authority over the destroyer, the devourer, the infirm spirit, spirit of fear, and the spirit of heaviness. Now, the one thing that I found out in this journey, are you still with me? I'm going to shift gears here in just a second. But one thing I found out through this whole pandemic is that I have met people that have not had COVID. And I have met people that have stayed completely healthy. And I thank God my wife and I have stayed healthy the entire time. We have not been sick. And I thank God I haven't had a head cold in 2 years. And I'm just not trying to be hyper about anything. I just haven't been sick. I thank God I've been well. Because, Lord, anytime you sneeze now, people are running for cover. Lord, the height of the pandemic, if you sneezed in a public place, people were crawling under tables. But I thank God, because my wife and I can truly testify, we have been healthy through the pandemic. And you say, well, that's because you have great faith. No, that's because God has blessed me and God has kept me, because I've known a lot of people that had great faith and still battled with this virus. I have met people that have not suffered financial loss. The amazing thing for our church and our ministry, 2020 was a more prosperous year for our ministry than 2019 was. So I can't say that our church suffered financially during this season. So I've met people that have stayed healthy and people that have not had financial problems. But I will say one thing. I have not met anybody that has not fought a mental or an emotional battle dealing with all the things that we've been having to deal with. This is where the destroyer is coming in. The destroyer, because of the emotional anguish that people have dealt with, it has impacted their relationship with their spouses. It has impacted their relationship with their children. It has impacted their relationship with coworkers. And what is the enemy doing? He's killing, he's stealing, and he's destroying. And we have seen the spirit of grief. People have lost, many people have lost their homes. Many people have lost physical health. Many people have lost loved ones. So there's been a spirit of heaviness we've dealt with. And let's just be honest, fear has run rampant in our nation and in the world. And the Lord just told me, he said, you tell your people this, to every day when they get up, rebuke the destroyer, rebuke the devourer, rebuke the spirit of fear, rebuke the spirit of the infirmity, and rebuke the spirit of heaviness. And my wife and I every day have been doing this. And you know what? I have seen in our church great miracles and great victories and great blessings. And I believe, I just got to share that with you. It's not my whole theme this week, but how many believe it's time for us to understand the enemy is out to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He's after your call. He's after your gift. He's after your anointing. He's after your life. He's after your finances. He's after your future. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But as we journeyed through, I'm going somewhere with this. You think I'm on a frontage road just running aimlessly. As we journeyed through the pandemic, I began to ask God, what is going on with this thing? Why have we not seen this thing reverse? I mean, churches have been praying. How many of you have just been praying, taking authority over this thing, rebuking it? I'm daily rebuking the virus, rebuking the impacts on the economy. But it's not just been, let me segue with this. It's not just been this virus. It's been the civil unrest. It's been the chaos during the election. It was the pre-election and the post-election and all the different things that we've been dealing with. The enemy is trying to turn our world upside down and put us into a spirit of chaos that, excuse me, we don't know, as my dad would say, whether we're foot or a horseback. You know, the spirit of confusion has been upon our nation. The spirit, that upheaval, unsettling, not understanding which way to go or which way to turn. Does anybody relate to this other than me? Maybe it's just a Colorado thing because the air's thinner up there. But I mean, we have seen such civil unrest. We have seen such racial tension. We have seen so much political chaos. We have seen so many conspiracy theories. And finally, I just had to say, I'm shutting it down. I'm shutting it down. And whether you're Republican or Democrat, conservative or liberal, if you keep pumping enough poison into you, you're going to get sick. No, if all you do is ingest and digest what the next theory is, by the time you're done ingesting and digesting, you're going to be living with a migraine. Now, I'm going somewhere, whether you believe me or not. So we're about, good Lord, 6-8 months. We reopened for live services a year ago on Pentecost in Denver. We were able to get reopened. Then we were completely had to shut down for about 4 or 5 months. Finally, last Pentecost, we reopened and have been opened for live services since then. But I kept asking God, I said, God, what's going on with this thing? You know, what's going on with this thing? You know, and the Lord, on the 11th day of November, the 11th month, and the 15th day, on November 11, 15, God took me to John 11, 15. On 11:15, God took me to John 11:15. Jesus said to his disciples, he'd heard the news about Lazarus, and Lazarus was sick. And everybody was ready for him to jump up and immediately go to Lazarus. How many know the story? Jesus says this to his disciples. In the 14th verse, then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. But this is the verse God took me to. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. And I said, God, what does this have to do with where we're at right now? He said, if I would have moved at the speed And at the pace that everybody has wanted me to move, my church would not see what I'm getting ready to do. And I said, you know, I'm a little thick on some things sometimes. And I said, God, what are you saying? He said, if Jesus would have gotten up and moved 1 minute sooner. Now, I studied this thing out, and I even looked it up again the other night, and I thought, well, how long did Jesus tarry? And I believe most theologians concur he waited about 2 days. And by the time he got to Lazarus, he'd been dead 4. Now, I want you to stay with me on this thing. So if Jesus would have gotten up immediately and went, Lazarus would have already been dead. But nobody had ever been raised from the dead that had been dead 4 days. Because in Jewish tradition, they believed if somebody came back to life before the process of mortification could set in, that they very well could have been in a coma. Now, we see Jesus raise some people from the dead, but nobody had ever been raised from the dead like Lazarus was getting ready to be raised from the dead. And the distinct timing of the resurrection of Lazarus was what was so much supernatural. You believe Palm Sunday just happened? No, Palm Sunday happened because Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. People begin to draw to him because they had heard about the resurrection of Lazarus. Now stay with me, I'm going somewhere. So he said, I'm glad that I wasn't there because you're getting ready to see a side of me that you have never seen before. Now, what did everybody say? No, I'm getting ready to preach now. What did everybody say? They said, if you would have been here sooner, my brother wouldn't have died. I'm not going to go through the whole story. You know it. If you'd have been here sooner, my brother wouldn't have died. What great faith. I mean, Martha, cook the meal, Martha, clean the house, Martha. Martha looks at it. You'd have shown up, you'd have healed him. No doubt in my mind, my brother would have been healed. Then they come to Mary, and Mary, the more spiritual one, but she said the same thing in essence. If you'd have been here sooner, my brother wouldn't have died. And so there was no doubt in Mary that Jesus would have healed him. Then Jesus goes to where they laid him. And then all the people, and a lot of them were not Jesus fans, but they said, surely this one that opened the blinded eyes and cast out devils and unstopped deaf ears, however they described it, if he would have been here, this man wouldn't have died. There wasn't anybody that doubted that Jesus would have healed Lazarus, because everywhere Jesus went, he healed all of them that were sick. And I said, God, what is this? What are you trying to show me? He said, sometimes you've got to slow things down to see me in a way you've never seen me before. He said, if Jesus would have been there, you know what Lazarus would have been? He'd have just been another healing. But the account of Lazarus became the most pivotal miracle. Whether you accept this or not, it was the most pivotal miracle in the ministry of Jesus' ministry on earth. And so Jesus stands there and he's looking at his disciples. He's looking at Martha. He's looking at Mary. He's looking at all the mourners and said, you're getting ready to see something like you have never seen it before. And then he says, roll the stone away. And when he said, roll the stone away, they said, surely, Lord, he stinketh. I just like the old King James on this. The odor is going to be profuse because he has been in the death realm for over 4 days. His body is rotting. His body is decaying. Jesus said, roll the stone away. And when they rolled the stone away, stay with me, they could smell death. They could smell death. Oh, when he raised Jairus' daughter, she had only been dead momentarily. When he raised the young man that they carried in the funeral procession. He had not been dead for very long, but Lazarus had been in that tomb. And when they rolled the stone, the evidence of his death was in their nostrils. Ladies and gentlemen, then Jesus spoke, and as you know, he said, Lazarus, come forth. And immediately Lazarus jumps up and he begins to bound himself out of that tomb. Then what happened? Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Now, you smelt the rotting flesh, but when they took the grave clothes off, there was not one part of his anatomy that had decayed, because when Jesus raised him, God gave him instantaneous, absolute, complete physical restoration. He brought him back to life. He restored every part of his physical body that was decayed. Now listen to me. You got to hear me on this. And Jesus simply was saying, now it's time to go. And I'm glad that I wasn't there. Because I wasn't there, you're going to see what I can do beyond anything you've ever seen before. Hang in here. So a few days later, they're having dinner, and people are surrounding the house. They didn't want to see Jesus. They wanted to see Lazarus. Come on. And then when Jesus begins to come into the city on Palm Sunday, what was the magnet? What was the thing that was drawing them to want to see Jesus of Nazareth? It was the resurrection of Lazarus. There were so many witnesses, so many people that could stand up and say, I know he was dead. Lazarus could say, I know I was dead. People were saying, I was there mourning at his graveside. And now all of a sudden it became like a spiritual contagious outbreak, and people were talking about, this is the guy that said Lazarus come forth, this is the one that raised him from the dead. We've never seen anything quite like this before. Why? Because Jesus didn't show up when everybody thought he should show up. I'm telling you something, God has slowed the roll down. We wanted him to be moving at light speed. We wanted him moving faster than what he was moving. And, you know, I have become almost just absolutely perplexed with prophetic utterance during this whole time. Because it's just all about, oh, on this day, this is going to happen. And on this day, this is going to happen. On this day, this is going to happen. And most of it didn't happen. You know why? Because there's something going on in the spiritual atmosphere that we're just going to have to accept. God is doing something bigger than we have ever seen him do before. God is setting the stage for a move of the Holy Ghost in the United States of America, not just in Uganda, not just in the Philippines, not just in the third world nation, in this first world nation, in this nation that's been a leader of world affairs. God is doing something. Some of you are saying, well, we don't have the right leader. We don't have the right president. God told me at the beginning of the pandemic, I am enthroned on the flood. And when you begin to understand the reason things are happening the way that they're happening, it's because God has put us in a position that we're looking and saying, I guess it's over. No, it's not over. God's getting ready to roll the stone away. God's getting ready to give us a lung full of the death that we've been battling with, but God's getting ready to speak and say, come forth. Church, it's time to come forth. Church, it's time to rise up. Church, it's time to stand up. Church, it's time to speak up. Oh, somebody give God a shout tonight. He'd been here sooner. If he'd been here sooner, a miracle wouldn't have happened. The that needed to happen to set the stage for everything I'm getting ready to do moving forward. Excuse me, with no disrespect, Jesus didn't need another healing on his resume. I don't know what Lazarus had, but Jesus had already healed it. And if he'd have been there sooner, he'd have healed him. He wouldn't have died. But if he'd have got there right after he died, it would have been just like Jairus' daughter. Oh, he probably was in a coma. You ever notice people have a way of explaining away the miraculous? Oh, but baby, this one you couldn't explain away. See, you're getting ready to see God do some things that the political system won't be able to explain away. The religious system won't be able to explain it away. You won't be able to explain it away. Your kids won't be able to explain it away. Your grandparents won't explain it away. It'll just be so evident, because when I breathed, I smelt the death. When they rolled that stone away, I know he was dead, because you could smell the death. Everything going on around us has the stench of death, mental death, emotional death, relational death, financial death, physical death. But I got news for you. The stone is rolling away. And the reason it's going to roll away, because God is raising up a new generation. God is raising up a generation that's going to look death and disease in the eye and say, I'm not afraid of you. Church, come forth. The church has been in a decaying process instead of a life-giving process, and God is raising us up for a time such as this. Still here? Luke 24:49 says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry, which means wait, remain, stay, until you be endued, which means clothed, filled, and equipped with power from on high. See, God wants to do something bigger. God wants to do something greater than we've ever seen him do before. But we are trying to tell God how quickly to move. The church is filled with a bunch of control freaks. It's the truth. I'm not going to say it 15 times, but I will say it again, Pastor. The church is filled with a bunch of control freaks. And we want God to move when we want him to move, how we want him to move, at the velocity we want him to move. Jesus said, behold, I send the promise of the Father. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry, wait, remain, stay in Jerusalem until you be clothed and filled and equipped with dunamis from on high. Now we know from just studying the scripture how many days Jesus was on earth after his resurrection. And then we know that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, that was when the manifestation of the Spirit occurred. So we know they were in the upper room for probably approximately around 10 days. Now, this is not something to get all hyper about, but we do know from the time Jesus ascended, they did not go to Jerusalem and tarry for 20 minutes. They tarried for several days, and maybe up to 10 days. Now, what we've got to begin to understand is they had no clue what was getting ready to happen. Jesus told them, in one translation, it said, I order you to go to Jerusalem and tarry. My last order to you is to go and wait. Nobody wants to wait for anything. But when you realize you're not in control, sometimes you just got to wait. I caught a flight out Sunday evening. I decided instead of pushing the envelope today, I was going to fly out Sunday evening. And they had a flight into Cincinnati that went nonstop. And I was just going to get there about 10:30 at night, rent a car, and drive on up here to the Metroplex and, get to bed late, but to be here. And so I get to the airport. My wife dropped me off, and I got all checked in, found out my plane was delayed for an hour. All right, well, my plane's delayed an hour. Well, then it became an hour and a half, and then it became 2 hours. Well, I finally got to the great city of Cincinnati about 1 a.m. to find out the car rental agencies are all closed. And I'm sitting there like at 1 a.m. in Cincinnati on a bench with no car. Now, I was not in a good mood. But one thing I learned from the experience is that when you're not in control, and so they said, now, the plane is here, but we have to wait on the cleaning crew to come in. And like, where are they? You know, I got to go. I need to get to Cincinnati, because they're going to close the car rental joint down, and I'm going to have a problem. So I'm on the phone. I'm calling the car rental agency. I'm on the phone. I'm calling the hotel up in Sydney. I'm just letting them know it's going to be late. I mean, I'm coming. I just don't know when I'm going to get there. Oh, Reverend, we know one thing. We'll be there waiting on you. I found out they all went home. But I wasn't in control of when those plane cleaners were coming on the plane. I wasn't in control of when the pilots were going to get on board. I wasn't in control of when that plane was going to push back. But I had a decision to make. Either I'm going to go home or I'm going to wait, because if I want to get to where I'm going, I'm just going to have to submit to the fact that other authorities are in charge of when the pushback and the takeoff is going to take place. And you're going to understand something real quick in your walk with God. Sometimes you just gotta wait for the pushback. Sometimes you just gotta wait for the takeoff. And if you don't wanna get to where God said you're gonna go, then you start telling God, if you don't do it when I want you to do it, then I'm not gonna ride with you. And the Lord says, you know, I got plenty of folks that wanna ride with me. And if you don't, then go home and be who you've been for the last 25 years. I'm here to tell you it's a new season. I'm here to tell you there's a move coming to the United States of America, and if we would have seen God move quicker or faster, we wouldn't see what we're getting ready to see. In Psalms, the 67th chapter, it says this: for my expectation is from Him. My expectation is from Him. Just think about this. My expectation is from Him. Now think about this a little bit. How many have heard the scripture that said, delight yourself in the Lord, He'll give you the desires of your heart? Okay, so that's our license. Say, whatever I want, God's going to give me. I delight myself in the Lord. So when I delight myself in the Lord, whatever desire I have, God will give me. No, but it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and the Lord will give you the desires of your heart. My expectation is not for Him. My expectation is from Him. There's a big difference. Because when your expectation comes from God, when your hope comes from God, when your vision comes from God, when your promise comes from God, there's a big difference in you just saying, okay, I have a dream, and so, Lord, it's your responsibility to bring my dream to pass. God's not all that concerned about your dream. But he is concerned about his expectation that he put in you, his hope that he put in you, his prophecy that he spoke to you, his vision that he put in you, his dream that he put in you. That's what he's liable to see brought to pass. So Jesus tells his disciples, this is good if you'll get it. He said, now I want you, behold, I send the promise. I'm sending the promise. Whose promise? The Father's promise. Now your responsibility is to get the promise. It's your responsibility to get what God has declared over you. See, our responsibility is not to create all these things for God to do. Our responsibility is to get the expectation from the Lord, to get the desire from the Lord, to get the promise from the Lord. What has God prophesied to you? What has God spoken to you? Not what did you tell God to do? No, what has God told you to do? What has God declared over your life? Oh, but Pastor, I got a prophecy back on the other side of the freeway. Or then I got a prophecy in that first building. I think the youth center or the children's wing is over there. Or I got a prophecy when we built the second sanctuary. Oh, I got a prophecy when we dedicated this building. But it all hasn't come to pass. Well, you got to grab hold of something. The Bible tells us that Abraham patiently endured and then possessed what? The promise. Now, because we have so many scriptures and we have so many promises, you know, I remember growing up and singing the little chorus, every promise in the book is mine, every chapter, every verse, every line. I'm trusting in his love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. How many remember that one? That was a big hit back then. But see, what we look at is when we look at scripture, okay, we have a promise. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. We have a promise. If you give, it'll be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, heaped up, running over it in good measure. We have other promises about many different categories and many different things. But what has God said to you? Abraham patiently endured and obtained the promise. What was the promise? It wasn't 27 different scriptures. He didn't have any of that. He had a promise. It was a prophecy. You will be the father of a great nation. For 25 years, Abraham patiently endured and obtained the promise. Now, if you'd been here sooner, my brother wouldn't have died. But God had a bigger plan than healing Lazarus. He wanted the miracle of the resurrection of Lazarus to be the premier miracle of Jesus's ministry, to activate a multiplicity of things. You got to grab this. Because when you get what you patiently endure and wait for, it has bigger implications than just another blessing. No, that's worth shouting over. You're missing a good moment to clap your hands and shout. See, God had a bigger plan for Lazarus' sickness than just a healing. God had a bigger plan in his death than for him to be prematurely resurrected. And so what had to happen? If you'd have been here sooner, my brother wouldn't have died. You know what happened when Abraham and Sarah operated in, if you'd have been here sooner mentality? They got Ishmael. And you know what we've got in the church today? We got a whole generation of God's people walking with an Ishmael instead of an Isaac. And they're walking with something. Oh, when you start getting your Ishmael, what your Ishmael is your expectation. What Ishmael is your dream. What Ishmael is your vision. What Ishmael is your expectation. Because when you don't get it the way you want it, when you want it, you start trying to figure out how to fix it and let God watch you create the answer. You with me? Oh, yeah, well, Sarah got the plan. Oh, we got this figured out. You know, Abraham, your loins are dead. I've always been barren. And even though God said, you know, that out of my body would come the heir, even though God said that from your loins would come the heir, you know, we got to deal with this because time's running out. The clock is clicking. Oh, my God. You know, like I said, so many prophecies were given and everybody was predicting, oh, this is what's going to happen on last Easter and this the Pentecost before and this timetable and that timetable and by this date and by this time. Just watch it. When everybody starts talking about dates and times and telling you when this is going to happen and when that's going to happen, some things you just got to accept. That's the Father's business. The Lord's in charge of a lot of this, and the Lord's just saying, you know, let me do my job and shut up. You know, everybody's trying to be so rich and famous in the sense of, oh, I'm the one that prophesied that this would happen on that date. And that's when false prophets start rising, or men that have been integrous men of God start falling into traps because people are pulling on them saying, when's it going to be over? When's the cure coming? When's the move coming? And the Lord's saying, these are the affairs that I am in charge of. You just show up when you're supposed to show up. Do what you're supposed to be doing and let me do what I'm supposed to do. So God says to Abraham, he says, okay, you're going to be the father of great nations. You're going to be the father of great nations. And ultimately, Abraham patiently endured and obtained the promise. But in the journey, he got into, if you'd have been here sooner. And when you get into you'd have been here sooner, then you get the Ishmael. And when you get the Ishmael, you don't get what God's expectation is for your life. Because Abraham and Hagar created Ishmael. God created Isaac. I don't know about you, I want what God creates. You know, we got all these groups that take young preachers and here's your manual. Here's how you start a church. Here's how you build a church. And do this and do this and do this. Oh, man, I've read chapter 1. And I've read chapter 2. Now I'm going to do chapter 3. Now I'm going to do chapter 4. And blah, 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 blah. You know, sometimes things are not franchised. Now, ladies, this will relate to you. And dads, you will understand. But if you've had multiple births, were any of your pregnancies identical? Were any of your birth processes identical? And are any of your children identical? Because everything we birth has its own unique DNA. But see, what the world wants to do, they want to franchise this thing. And so if you go into church A over here, it's going to be just like church B over here, which is just going to be like church C over here. But I talked to Dr. Cho personally in Tulsa, Oklahoma years ago, and standing in the lobby of the hotel we were staying, and he began to share with me, when I went to Korea, God showed me through fasting and prayer how to birth this church and what needed to be done in Seoul, South Korea. But I tried to go to Japan and do the same thing I did in Korea, and none of it worked. And I said, God, what's wrong? He said, what's wrong is you got the direction by fasting and prayer for Korea, and now you're just trying to take what I gave you for Korea and move it over to Japan. I want you to hear me. Your expectation has to come from the Lord. The dream has to come from God. The vision has to come from God. And Abraham, for 25 years, ultimately, patiently endured, and he obtained the prophecy. He obtained it because he patiently endured. The church has been in a patient enduring lately. I'm as frustrated as any pastor. I look out and I have people that I have not seen for a year and a half in my church building people that got saved, people got filled with the Holy Ghost, healed, delivered, devils cast out of, whatever, and haven't been in the church. And I'm sensitive to pre-existing conditions. I'm sensitive to people's concerns. But a year and a half have not darkened the church door. And it's frustrating because I'm preaching to one church online and I'm preaching to another church live, and I'm impacting both of them, and I'm thankful for that. But there comes a point, ladies and gentlemen, that we've got to come back into the house of God and join forces together as an army. And it gets frustrating. It gets frustrating. I've tried to communicate to my people, and I know you don't have that problem in Ohio. These Colorado folks, there's just too many liberals out there. And my wife and I finally got out of town, and we spent a wonderful period of time in Hawaii. And I have picture after picture after picture through the years, because we've gone to Hawaii. It's always kind of been our anniversary place. Well, since I missed birthdays, anniversaries, Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, Super Bowl Sunday, whatever event, you know, everything got taken away for a period of time. I said, we're just going to make up for all of it. We're going on one big, huge trip. But I've had for years wonderful pictures of sunsets in Hawaii, and they're absolutely beautiful. And this is spiritual, so don't go to the islands completely. And I've seen these beautiful pictures of the sunsets, but it's nothing like being there. Oh, I've got some great photos. I mean, some that have been wallpaper on my phone, and some that need to be blown up and hung on a wall, but it's not like being there. Because one evening, it was about 6:30 at night, and the sun was setting into the Pacific Ocean, and I could hear the sound of the palm leaves. The breeze was gently blowing. It was 82.5 degrees, and it was perfect outside, and I could hear the waves crashing. And that guy blew on one of those little shell horns, you know, because they do that at the resort when the sun's going down. You can hear, and then the guy starts running through the resort, lighting all the tiki torches. And we just sat out there. And it was absolutely perfect and beautiful and magnificent. And there was not one picture on my phone that could equal that experience. And I'm telling you something, I'm just on kind of a pastoral side frontage road. I'm telling you something, there's something about being with God's people in the house of God that you're not going to get it. You can feel it to a degree. You can sense it to a degree. It can encourage you to a degree. But there's something about being in the presence of God with God's people. And God tells us that we exhort one another when we're together. But we got to patiently endure. Something is happening. Is anybody catching what I'm saying? Something, God is doing something that if we will patiently endure, we will obtain what God has said over us. I'm almost done. Joseph was 17 years old when he got the promise. 17. 17 years old. Now here's what I want you to get about when you get a word from God. Usually what will happen when you get a word from God, Abraham gets a word from God, you'll be the father of a great nation. God gives him a word. He has a barren wife, and he's an old man when he hears it. His circumstances were diametrically opposed to the promise. Joseph, at 17, hears a word from God. In essence, his promise was, you're going to be a world ruler. And then from that moment forward, everything got into diametric opposition to what God said. For 13 years, all Joseph had was the promise, the prophecy, the dream, the vision, the God said. So I'm here trying to get you to understand the prophetic in your life. Because when God speaks something to you, it cannot return void, and it has to accomplish something major in your life. Then you go to David. Now think about this. Here's David. The great prophet Samuel comes and he says, you're going to be the next king of Israel. And it was 15 years later that David was anointed king of Judah. But that wasn't what God said. God said he would be the king over all of Israel. And then he had to wait another 7 years to be anointed king over the balance of the tribes and see that he would obtain the promise. What did he have to do? He had to patiently endure. I mean, David wasn't like lounging around in the palace and had servants and had everybody attending to every need while he's waiting on Saul to get old and die. No, David was being hunted down like a traitor. Joseph was thrown into a pit. Abraham was in the midst of, now my wife's always been barren and now I'm unable to sire a child, but yet I still have this promise. I still have this prophecy. Have you ever felt like I have this prophecy, but nothing in my circumstances is in agreement with what God has said to me? But he patiently endured. 22 years, David patiently endured, but he possessed the promise. He possessed the promise. So Moses is 40 years in the courts of Pharaoh, messes things up, gets exiled into Midian, and for 40 years he's in Midian, and at 80 years old, now he starts obtaining the promise. Some of you are, you're planning your funeral at 80. Moses was getting ready to launch into his prophetic promise. At 80. Are you with me? Are you with me? See, they waited for 10 days approximately for the upper room. But when you obtain your promise, this is the best part of the whole message. When you get your promise, it's not the end. It's the beginning. No, I said, when you get your promise, it's not the end, it's the beginning. And it didn't matter to God that Moses was 80. All that it mattered to God was that he obtained the promise. God didn't care that Abraham was 100 years old. He obtained the promise. God didn't care that David had been waiting 22 years. He obtained the promise. God wasn't worried about that they were stuck in the upper room for whatever number of days they were there. They obtained the promise. And when you get the promise, God wasn't worried about that Lazarus' flesh was decaying and rotting, because if you would have been there sooner, my brother wouldn't have died. All God cared about was, I got a bigger plan than you have. My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Are you getting this tonight? See, you've got God put in the little box. You've got God telling him how your expectation and how big it is. No matter what your thought is, God's thought is higher about it. No matter what your way of doing it is, God has a better plan for you than that. So what has to happen? When the day of Pentecost was fully come, what happened? They didn't have a clue what was going to happen. First day, they probably looking around at everybody and said, well, do we got it, Matthew? I don't know. What do you think, Peter? You're always running off at the mouth. Do we have it? You know, he told you, he'd give you the keys. You unlock anything lately? Well, Mary, you were the mother of Jesus. You ought to ask, what's going to happen? I don't know. I don't know. I was just highly favored among women. What about you, Martha? Why don't you go cook something? Yeah, Thomas, we know better than to talk to you. You doubt everything. So here we got all these people in the upper room and nobody has a clue what God's getting ready to do. And you know what the exciting part of, I think, where we're at right now? We don't have a clue. We don't know what God's getting ready to do. We don't know why God let all this happen. We don't know why God allowed this. You can have all your conspiracy theories, all your thoughts, all the different things from bats to the Chinese to whatever, and you can have all your different thoughts about it, but I got news for you. We don't have a clue what's going on, but we do know one thing. If we let God show up when God wants to show up, something big's going to happen. So here they are. They don't know what's going to happen. They've kind of felt a little bit of the touch of God. They went out in teams of two by two. They saw some healings, miracles, deliverances, and different things, but they didn't really know what was going to happen. But when you read the account of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the Passion Edition, it's really interesting because it talks about how like a pillar of fire came into the room. It said, when you talk about a rushing and a mighty wind, it was like a hurricane force wind. It was the breath of God. The breath of God came out of the throne room. The fire of God came out of the throne room. And it wasn't some little thing that happened, because it was so loud and it was so powerful and it was so mighty that people started running toward where the disciples were in that upper room, because they saw the fire. They heard the sound of the wind. And when the pillar hit the upper room, it subdivided. When you study this out, you got to grab it. That pillar of fire hit the upper room, and then it subdivided into 120 different flames. And the Bible teaches in other translations that the fire engulfed them. And Matthew looked at Luke and said, I think this is it. And Peter looked at Mary and said, I think this is it. I think this is what he was talking about. And then Thomas said, I'm not doubting anything, because I feel it in my hands. I feel it in my feet. I feel it from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. I never expected anything like this. And Jesus said, just wait, just wait, just wait, just wait, just wait on it. Just wait on it. Just wait on it. And when they waited on it, God did something bigger and greater. Greater than they had ever seen him do. He did something mightier. And just like Mary and Martha, he would have been here sooner. No, God showed up right on time. Right on time. And God's getting ready to show up in the church of the United States right on time. Somebody give God a shout. Oh, come on, you can do better than that. We're talking about the God of Pentecost. We're talking about the God of resurrection. We're talking about Abraham's God. We're talking about Moses' God. We're talking about David's God. We're talking about the Apostle Peter and Luke and John. The God that was right on time. Oh, just lift your hands up toward heaven. Glory to God. Just lift your hands up toward heaven. See, in every one of your ministries, these men of God that are here from different places and different cities, in every one of your ministers, there's an on-time moment from God. There's an on-time moment from God. Pastor Dosik seen this in crusades. There's like a moment that God just shows up, and God will do more and 500 seconds than we've seen him do in 500 days before. There's a moment in time that the glory shows up. There's a moment in time for this church. There's a moment in time for your call. There's a moment in time for your vision. There's a moment in time for your dream. There's a moment in time for you that's a God moment. And quit trying to tell God if you'd have been here sooner. God knows exactly what you need to get you exactly where you need to be. Come on, lift your hands up. Just worship God. Just get that song ready, Waymaker, Miracle Worker. And some of these men, Pastor, help me with who these gentlemen are that have been fasting and praying with you. I want them to come down here for just a moment. The brother and sister from Maine that ministered on Sunday. Now, tomorrow night, listen, I've just kind of opened this a little bit. But see, I want you gentlemen to hear me. I don't know anything. Oh, I know about Philip. God help me. I just met our brother from Maine and his lovely wife, but I really don't know anything about you gentlemen, don't know what you do, don't know if you have churches or just parachurch ministries or whatever, but I want you to hear me tonight in the spirit. There is an attitude we get into that, you know, why hasn't God done this already? Why hasn't this broke loose? Why hasn't this manifested? But the truth of the matter is, your expectation has come from God. And that means He gave the dream. He gave the vision. He gave the prophetic word. And when he gave it, he knew that he gave it and it could not return void or empty. It cannot go back unfulfilled. So he doesn't release it until he knows it will come to pass. Come to pass. Certain things that God says to us prophetically are about blessings. Pastor Phyllis was sharing a major blessing that occurred, and I prophesied to her, well, 2012. And everything God said back in 2012 came to pass. That word being fulfilled was really a word of blessing over her life. It didn't have to do with particularly her call or her destiny, but it had to do with the blessing of God being released. And I thank God for that. But what I'm talking about right now are things that have to do with your destiny, your purpose, your future. And we get frustrated. We get discouraged because we see too many people feel like their dreams are dead. Their visions are dead. Their calls are dead. Or maybe the way I looked at it. Well, maybe the way you looked at it wasn't right, because what you've got to go back and say, what did God actually say to me? Not what did I want him to say to me? I remember talking to your pastor many times, and I said, why do you stay in Bodkins? Not that I didn't love Bodkins, it's just a magnificent place. And his response was always the same. That's where God told me to build the church. Discussion over. Because when you know that's what exactly God said to do, then there's nothing to worry about. You're right in the epicenter. You're right in the center. And then whatever the timetables are, that's between you and God. God's working it out. And I don't know you. I don't know anything about you. I don't know if you drove from across town or across the United States, but I want you to know something. The Bible said David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. And when he encouraged himself in the Lord, his God, he heard from God. And then after he heard from God, he pursued and he overtook and he recovered all. You're getting ready to pursue some things. You're getting ready to pursue. You're getting ready to overtake. And you're getting ready to obtain some things. And the Lord said, I've heard your prayers even before you came into these last few days. I heard your cry and I heard you ask me about some things. And I want you to know, my son, you have patiently endured and you shall obtain what I've already said to you. So be encouraged, because the word said when David encouraged himself in the Lord, he strengthened himself. Well, what did he strengthen himself with? It had to be what God prophesied to him through the lips of Samuel, because Ziklag was the last real test that David went through before he was anointed king of Judah. And those tests and those wars that we go through, it's just sometimes they say, oh, here we go again. And the Lord said, I know, I'm putting a little more pressure on you. I'm putting another plate on the bar. I'm adding a little weight. And the Lord would say to you, I've seen the weight you've carried. I've seen the pressure you've been under. I've seen the challenges that you've gone through. But you shall obtain, saith the Lord, the promise, and you will not leave this meeting like you came, saith the Lord of hosts. Somebody praise God. Somebody praise God. Somebody praise God. Hallelujah. Come on, come on, come on. Now you, what's your name? Joe. Just Joe? William Joseph Turner. Well, why'd they call you Joe instead of William? Well, my parents did the same thing to me. My name's Mark Timothy, and they called me Tim. So Joe. Joe. Joe, you are a bundle of energy. And you're about as impatient as they get. And I came all the way from Denver to preach this message to you. Because if you will get this word and patiently endure, you will obtain the promise. But if you don't, you'll get Ishmael. And I'm not picking on you, because I'll save all that for Philip. But the thing is, Joe, if you will get this, you will get your Isaac. You will get what God has said to your life. And we get anxious. And the Bible tells us not to be anxious for anything. And we get anxious and we get antsy and we get impatient. But you know something? God put that fire in you. God put that drive in you. See, Peter felt it, but he just didn't know how to properly channel that drive that he had. And it was always getting mixed up with flesh and emotion. But you're going to walk out of these meetings with a God-given deposit of clarity of his expectation for you. And as you walk in that, you are going to obtain the promise. See, if the devil could have had his way, you would be dead right now. And the enemy tried everything he could to stop you, to hold you back, to keep you from fulfilling the purpose of God. But Joe, I want you to hear me. You will patiently endure and you will obtain the promise. You are going to fulfill what God has already spoken over you. You don't even need another prophetic word. You've got the word of what God wants to do with you. What you've got to hear tonight is just let God make it bigger and better than you would have made it, because you'd have been here sooner, Jesus. Lazarus wouldn't have died. But Jesus said, because I got here late by your perspective, something's getting ready to happen like the world has never seen before. And Joe, God's going to do some things through you like you never anticipated. When you go to Isaiah 55, his ways are higher, his thoughts are higher. And I'm telling you something, God has bigger plans for you than you do for yourself. As driven and as motivated and as fired up as you are, son, God has bigger plans for you than you do for yourself. Now, is this your dad? It's your grandfather. I don't know what it is, but God, Grandpa, began to show, I don't know if it was you or his mother or his father, but it was from an earlier generation. God began to reveal, before he was even interested, that the hand of God was on him and that God was going to supernaturally use him. And I got a feeling that you were hearing the voice of God about this young man's life when he was just a little guy. And I'm telling you something, you're going to see God do what God showed you. And sir, I want you to take your hand and I want you to put it on his head right now. And I declare over you, Joe, that you are going to patiently endure and you are going to possess the promise. And I declare multi-generational anointing. I declare multi-generational anointing. I declare insecurity be broken. And I declare God's going to do bigger things with you than you ever dreamed was going to happen. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, somebody praise God. Somebody praise God. Do you guys have a church up in Maine, or do you just itinerate and minister? You travel full time. I release some things tonight that I want you to grab hold of in the spirit, because I know you have a great prophetic anointing on your life, and I know that God uses you to be a source of encouragement and a source to ignite fresh flames in people. But I want you to hear me. God said, I'm getting ready to do something bigger. And I'm getting ready to do something greater through you guys than you have ever seen happen before. It's just simple as this. If you'd have been here sooner, my brother wouldn't have died. And God slowed some things down for all the ministries across the world through this pandemic. I don't think anybody in 2020 to my church, all because of all the restrictions. But God said, I'm getting ready to do something greater. I'm getting ready to do something mightier than you have seen in days gone by. And the Lord said, the spirit of discernment, the gift of the discerning of spirits, is going to begin to operate in you at another level. The word of knowledge is going to the next level, and you're going to begin to speak, and it's not just going to be in an audience setting, but God said, I'm going to give open ears and open hearts in leaders, and those men of God and women of God are going to start receiving from God in a way that is going to be miracle breakthroughs in their life. And there's doors getting ready to open to you in congregations and in churches that they've been stuck. Just bottom line, they've been stuck. And some of it's had to do with COVID, and some of it's had to do with the problems they had before COVID. COVID just became the excuse. But God said, I'm going to cause you to be a person that opens new doors of vision. I see it, God. God said he's going to anoint your hands to anoint their eyes. He's going to anoint your hands to anoint their ears. And he's going to anoint your hands to anoint their minds. And breakthroughs are going to start coming. God's going to open the doors to discouraged pastors that are wondering how they're going to keep going. And God said, all right, Lord, I'm going to say it just directly. God said to tell you that wherever you go, anoint the ears, the eyes, and the minds of the leaders. Anoint the ears, the minds, and the eyes of the leaders, because there's a resurrected hearing, resurrected vision, and resurrected thinking that's going to come upon them. And God said, I'm going to anoint your voice, and there is a strength coming into your spirit, woman of God, and there is a voice that's going to start coming out of you that's going to be bolder than in days gone by. You've always stood with him. You've always stood by his side, but God said, there are brokenhearted women that I will put a healing anointing in your hands. And God said, I'm going to cause you to be a comforter. I am going to cause you to be a healer of broken hearts. And I'm going to cause you to speak into the wives of ministries that are frustrated and are ready to give up, even ready to leave their spouses. And God said, I'm going to use you to heal broken hearts. I see the oil is his hands are going to anoint ears, eyes, and minds. You're going to anoint broken hearts, and miracles are going to start happening. Miracles are going to start happening in the name of Jesus. Somebody praise God. Somebody praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now stretch your hands. What's your name, sir? Tom. Everybody stretch your hands toward Tom. Father, in the name of Jesus. Do you guys have a connection? What is it? Okay, because I saw you two working together. I didn't know if you were father and son or brothers or whatever, but I saw a connection here. And God creates divine connections. And Tom, I want you to get ready, because you're not a young guy, but you're not an old guy either. But there is a maturation process that's getting ready to accelerate in your life. And I don't know what it is, but God said you've been struggling a little bit and you've been warring, but you're going to be all right, Tom. You're going to be all right. And that next breakthrough you've been believing for, it's right at hand. Abraham patiently endured and he possessed the promise. And I want everybody in this building to stretch your hands. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost, I want you to start praying in the Spirit for Tom. Because there's fresh oil coming on you, Tom. There's fresh oil coming on you. And I declare in the name of Jesus, the power of the Holy Ghost is going through you. I see you in those foreign settings. I see you in those fields of opportunity that are not comfortable, but you're ready for it. And I declare a new anointing on you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Somebody praise God. Somebody praise God. Somebody praise God. Somebody praise God. How you doing? I'm all right. What's your name? Logan. Logan, are you ready? Were you up on the platform earlier? I thought you were. You had that white guitar. It was pretty awesome looking guitar. Logan, here's the one thing I want to challenge you with. make sure your expectation is from God, not your expectation for you. When you get the expectation of God, not giving God an expectation. When you get the expectation from God, everything that'll happen over the days, weeks, and months to come will have purpose. And you're getting ready to walk into a place of great peace. Great peace. I don't know what it is, but I see a lot of hurts. I see a lot of, almost in some ways, damage that has happened in your yesterdays. But I want you to hear me. Patiently endure, and you will obtain the promise. You'll obtain the dream. You'll obtain the vision. You'll obtain what God is saying to your life. And see, sometimes when I'm ministering to people, Philip, you know this, I'm speaking life words. I'm speaking words about their destiny. I'm speaking words about who they are and what their future is. But other times I'm trying to get you to dial in of how to truly possess what God has already said. And there are things that God has said to you. What we have to do is filter out what God has said and what people have said or what we have said. And I don't know why I'm saying that to you, Logan, but I'm telling you something. You're going to get a clear channel of what God is saying to you about your tomorrows. And as you're praying, as you're fasting, as you're seeking the face of God, it's going to become clear to you of what God is getting ready to do with your life. And you've got a strong calling on your life. But you know, you're kind of like Joe a little bit. I mean, you got a lot of passion, you got a lot of fire, but you have no patience. No, God should have, even though God refined Joseph for 17 years, 17 days ought to be enough for Logan and for you, 10 days ought to be, 2 days ought to be more than enough. And the Lord said, I got some serious work to do, Logan. I got some healing that's got to take place. I've got some repair work to do. I've got some yoke-breaking anointing that's going to come upon your life because I don't want you to fall. I don't want you to fail. I want you to succeed. And God said, you've always had charisma and you've always had personality and you've always kind of had an ability to draw people towards you. But God said, what I'm doing now, I'm building character in you. I'm building strength in you. I'm building the kind of infrastructure that 20 years from now, 30 years from now, 50 years from now, you're going to still be standing if the Lord tarry. And when I put my hands on you, Logan, the power of the Holy Ghost is going to go through you. Yokes are going to start breaking. Healings are going to start happening deep inside your spirit. Everybody stretch your hands toward Logan. I declare it in the name of Jesus. Let the fire of the Holy Ghost be on him right now in Jesus' name. What's your name? Philip. And Philip. Oh, really? Well, and you, well, you are a walking miracle. No, I'm picking on you, Philip. Come here, Philip. The God of multi-generational anointing is your God. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of Joseph is your God. There's a multi-generational anointing. Philip, I know a lot of things have been blowing and going and things have been moving. I hear good reports from Pastor Dosik and God's. I can remember the name of the city, Kenton, the metropolitan city of Kenton, and God is moving in that church. But son, I want you to hear me. There's an anointing on your dad. There's an anointing on your mother, but you have a blending of those anointings. There, when you look at yourself spiritually, say, well, I'm not really like my dad, and I'm not really like my mom. But the beauty of that is, there's gifts in you that truly flowed from your mother, and there's gifts in you that that truly flowed from your father. And now you're walking in a mixing together is the best way that I can say it. Ronnie Joe Harrison was with me on Friday night in Denver, and he talked about the anointing of the apothecary. I don't know if I'm even saying it right, but he talked about how when they created the anointing oil, there were these distinct spices and they were put into the oil, and then they had to mix them together. And I see this in you. I see oil in you, but I see a mixing. I see a mixing. I see a mixing that has been supernaturally put into you. Now, son, here's where we're going right now. You're not like Logan, and you are not like Joe. So when you get up tomorrow, say, thank you, Jesus. And you are not like your dad, because your dad is like Logan and Joe. But God has graced you with patience. And your patience will cause you to endure and possess. Now, I just pick on your dad because it's fun. But your dad will tell you that there's Ishmael and Isaac moments. And when we get anxious, we end up with something that is beneath the privilege that God has for us. Don't rush yourself. Yield to what God is doing in your life. See, I'm falling a little differently tonight than maybe I do in other meetings, but there's a reason for that, because see, Pentecost was the church birthing day, and there's a birthing of ministries and a releasing of ministries, and Pastor Dosik has been pouring into men of God to see a worldwide move of the Spirit. But son, you are going to surprise people. You kind of look at yourself and say, okay, well, Logan's going to do this, and then Joe's going to do this, and my dad's going to do this, and then Tom will do this, and Pastor Bagel will do this, Pastor Dosik will do this. No, Philip the second or third or whichever one you are, Philip, get this, you're going to do it. You're going to do it. You're going to do it. There is a creative anointing in you. There is a quietness about you. And the reason there is that quietness is that contemplative anointing that's on you will cause you to create. And you're going to create lyrics. You're going to create music. You're going to create things. And you're going to say, well, I'm not this guy. No, don't worry about those guys. Worry about who God created you to be. And there is an expectation that God has put inside of you. And you're going to wake up and God's going to give you lyrics. You're going to wake up and God's going to give you sounds, and God's going to anoint your hands. I don't know if you play an instrument. I don't know anything about it, but there is a creative anointing in you that is unique. And God said, let me develop it in you at the next level, because you're anointed and God has put you with your father and with your mother, because you are part of the legacy of what is being built in that church. And quit trying to run from it. Just yield to it, man. Because they need cool Philip. They got old Philip. They need cool Philip. They need that cool anointing you have. They need that passion for this generation. And God's getting ready. I'm telling you something. God's getting ready to loose a revival in this church. And there's going to be young men and young women, college age, high school. Something's getting ready to break. It's just kind of like this. If you'd have been here sooner, my brother wouldn't have died. God, if God would have done it sooner, what he's getting ready to do wouldn't have happened, because he's making you ready. You're going to be a hundredfold man of God. You're going to get the branches to produce a lot of fruit. You've got a soul winning, prodigal, restoring anointing in you. And God said, don't be bashful. Don't be ashamed. Just rise up. Be bold. Be proud of what God's doing in you. Be proud of the anointing that's in you. And I declare it in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Fresh fire is coming on you. You are being refined. You are continued to be developed. You are continued to moving into what God has destined you to move into. And you are getting ready to bust loose in one of the greatest seasons of your ministry. The second half of this year is going to be a hundredfold season. It's going to be a season of increase. When you begin to pray at the end of 2020, you were one of those that were saying, okay, this thing's going to be over with pretty quick. 21, it's all going to be over with. But the Lord has slowed the roll, and you say, God, you're doing something. And just like what I preach, Lord, what are you doing exactly? But the truth of the matter is this, Philip, the second half of this year is going to be a harvest season. It's going to be a harvest season. It's going to be a harvest season. And you've had some frustrations. You've had some setbacks. You've had some heartbreaks in this year, and you've seen people get a little weird and sideways, and it's been very trying for your spirit, because you are ready to take the city. You are ready to go to the north, the south, the east, and west, and set up tents in every street corner. But the Lord's saying, Philip, I'm getting ready to do something. I'm getting ready to loose the Isaac. I'm getting ready to birth what I have promised you. If you will patiently endure, you will possess the promise, saith the Lord. Somebody praise God. Somebody praise God. Stretch your hands toward these men. Now, Father, in Jesus' name, what's your name, son? God, I declare an anointing be on Billy in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. What's your name, son? Paul, I declare an anointing on you in the name of Jesus. Praise God. What's your name? Mike? Where'd you get those shoes, Mike? No. They're, Ben, you could go out and hunt something in those shoes. So praise God. Mike, I don't know why God said, I don't know if I've ever said this to anybody, but I heard the word coach. And I'm not saying you've coached football, coached baseball, that, but you're going to be a coach. And a coach gets more satisfaction out of watching his players excel than he got when he played the game. And the Lord said, I've anointed you to coach, and you're going to get more joy out of watching those that you're coaching start moving in the gifts, seeing the sick healed, seeing souls saved, seeing people delivered. Mike, your heart's been broken more than once. People have hurt you, and you've got a caring heart. You've got a merciful heart. You're kind of the guy that would bring home the stray dog. And I'm not making fun of that. You've got this kind, compassionate heart that you would do anything for anybody at any time. But what the results of that many times are is simply this. We open ourselves up to hurt. But you have never let it stop you from doing what God has called you to do. And you are getting ready to coach champions. Now, whether people like Bill Belichick or they don't like Bill Belichick, the rep that he has is that he's maybe the greatest NFL coach of all time. That's debatable, naturally. But there comes a moment in time that it's the players that actually win the game. But they wouldn't have been able to win it without the coach. And you're going to start seeing young men, and maybe not so young, but younger in the Lord, start achieving things in God because you prayed with them, you fasted with them, you counseled with them, you hugged them and loved them and encouraged them and told them, listen, you're okay. You're a champion. You're a winner. Don't give up now. Don't give up on your marriage. Don't give up on your kids. Don't quit. Don't leave your pastorate. But a coaching spirit is going to come upon you. And God said the spirit of wisdom is going to come on you. And you're going to reach out, and there's a generation of champions getting ready to be raised up. And God said, you look back and say, oh God, if I'd have done this different, or if I'd have done that different, or if I'd have done this way or that way, put all that behind you, because you've got a Super Bowl ahead of you. You've got a championship team ahead of you. You've got miracles ahead of you in Jesus' name. Somebody praise God. Somebody praise God with me tonight. Somebody praise God with me tonight. Touch them tonight, Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus. Anoint them tonight in the name of Jesus. Somebody give God a shout of victory this evening. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You guys can be seated. All over the house, you can be seated. I just believe there's just a word that I have for you tomorrow night. And I'm just believing God for some real miraculous breakthroughs. I laid the groundwork tonight. I want to spend a little more time tomorrow night praying with people, ministering to people. But I want you to grab this one simple scripture out of Hebrews, the 6th chapter and the 15th verse, where it talked about he patiently endured and possessed the promise. Now, the verse before it talks about in blessing, I will bless you. And in multiplying, I will multiply you. And then it said, and he patiently endured and obtained the promise. How many of you believe God has a blessing in the blessing? A multiplying in the multiplying? How many can also say God has blessed you? All right, but yet God's saying in the blessing, I'll bless you. How many have seen some multiplying in your life? So God's saying, in the multiplying, I will multiply you. Now, I'm going to receive an offering for the work of ministry, and I want to thank this church, and I want to thank all of you through the years, 36 years, that you've stood and blessed me and encouraged me and just made me feel valuable to the work of the kingdom. But I feel very strongly about something tonight, and I just want to say this. There was 120 people on the day of Pentecost, and from the 120 people on the day of Pentecost came a revival that in 2.5 years' time, all of Asia heard the gospel. And I want you to hear me. I believe God is getting ready to do something from this church like this church has never seen happen before. You guys that I prayed for tonight, the work in Kenton, the outreaches of this church, something's getting ready to happen. But the only way that can happen is that God continued to bless you. And you know, the enemy tried everything he could. That's why the Lord said, one of those spirits that has to be rebuked is the devourer. And you know what? The enemy tried everything he could do, but I believe he has protected the people of God. And I have watched God through in our church supernaturally provide and protect our people financially. And I believe part of it is we kept rebuking the devourer. And I want to ask every person in this church that would stand with this ministry with a seed of $120, I want you to get out of your seat and I want you to meet me down here right now. I'm not going to beg, borrow, plead. Just look at you like, okay, if you don't do this, the world's going to come to an end. But I feel like every leader, I feel like people that are ready for a new season to break, I feel like people that are tired of the old and you're ready to move into something bigger and something greater and something mightier. If you'd have been here sooner, my brother wouldn't have died. But God wouldn't have done all that he did. See, some of you have been pushing God. Some of you have just been saying to the Lord, do this, do this, do this. But then the Lord's saying, let me finish what I'm trying to do. Let me finish what I'm trying to do. Let me finish what I'm trying to do. There's about 10 more people God's speaking to tonight. I pray you move and move quickly, because God wants to loose something on you and on this house. Glory to God. Just come on down. It's not going to be that painful. Glory to God. Just get ready and sow a seed. Just get ready to sow a seed. I'm not asking for thousands. I'm asking for a simple seed. 90% of the people in this room can do this. Some of you can't, but those of you that can, I believe it's a crucial seed that you need to sow in the Spirit. Praise God. Praise God. I'm going to take about 30 more seconds, and I don't even usually tarry this long. I just keep believing if you will patiently endure, you will possess the promise. What has God said? What has God said? What does your ministry need? What does your business need? What does your church need? What does your career need? What needs to happen? What needs to happen? I've told this before. The first time Oral Roberts preached in our church in Denver, we were still in our other location, and we were writing to the church, and the Lord spoke to me. We'd never sown a seed like this before in the history of the ministry. And Oral didn't ask anything of us. He just said, I just need an air ticket and a hotel room, and whatever you feel to do, do it. And I'm riding in the car, and the Lord said, sow $25,000 to his ministry today. And we were in the middle of buying land and getting ready to build our building. And I said, God, I'm in a building program. God, I it was like the Lord said to me, he said, how much building are you going to get built with that $25,000? Well, I'd been getting the bids in. I said, well, not a lot of it. He said, well, what if I supernaturally multiply it? What if I supernaturally multiply it? I said, I think I can get more square footage built that way. And I went in the accounting office. Oral was in my office. When the accounting office, I said, strike a check right now. I don't know what's going to come in the offering. I don't know what's going to happen, but this is what God said to do. And my accounting department struck the check. As service was over, we gave it to him. And from that day forward, our church took an unprecedented jump in tithe and offering. And there was no explanation for it, except we did what God told us to do. And I feel that for some of you tonight, that there's going to be unexpected blessing that gets loose because you're doing this. Now let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke the devourer. I come against the works of the enemy. I declare this seed is a key. I declare this seed will activate favor. And I declare, God, it will rebuke the devourer. I declare for every church. I just declare a miracle for the Kenton church. I declare the windows of heaven open up and help them with everything they're working with. For the other ministries, the other churches represented here, God, I declare hundredfold blessing is coming from sources they didn't know it was coming. For businesses, for careers, God, for those that are making sacrifices, I declare in the name of Jesus that, God, you shall move in a supernatural way in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise God. You can return to your seats. If you have your offerings, if you want to leave it here, that's fine. Now, I want everybody to get a seed, everybody to sow to the work of the kingdom, and everyone to be a blessing. How many are glad you've been in the house tonight? Praise God. I said, how many are glad you've been in the house tonight? Hallelujah. I'm praying that every person, I say this every Wednesday night in our church, let's everybody be a giver. Sometimes as a pastor, you're dealing with tithing and different things like that, but let's everybody be a giver tonight. Let's everybody be a seed sower, and I believe God will bless every person that's here tonight. Pastor, I'm going to let you come and do the final receiving of the offering, and give your pastor a great big hand, and he'll come and praise God.
Well, praise God. Hallelujah. That was a great word. You did a good job. Hallelujah. Praise God. We are going to receive an offering here. And to those of you that have taken an envelope, you can do it tonight or you can do it tomorrow night. And everybody be a giver. You can't outgive God. And if you think you can and you stop giving, then you're going to be in trouble. Give, give, give. I'm telling you. I don't think that it is something that we as a church, the body of Christ, has ever comprehended the power of a seed. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, you speak to every heart, speak to every person, every couple, every family, that God, as they sow this seed, that God, it'll be given back to them. God, in a supernatural way, as you give into a prophet's ministry, that God, they receive a prophet's reward. Now, God, we thank you that God, it breaks, it tears down, it destroys, God. It builds up and it looses and increases. God, we thank you for tonight. We give you the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. And stand to your feet and bring your offering unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Tomorrow night, bring a friend. Come. And I believe that God is going to touch many, many people tomorrow night. We'll see you tomorrow night at 7 o'clock.